Hello, Africa. This is Let's Talk. It's a show where we take a lighthearted look at everyday life, the day-to-day issues you care about. I'm your host, Sunday Shomari, in Washington. Today, fashion in Africa.
People should have the ability to do what they want. Right. Because if it makes you feel free, feel good about yourself, I think you should go for it. Mm-hmm. I just recently came from Nigeria, and I was amazed by how people embrace fashion.
In Tanzania, our staple piece is the kanga, which is mainly worn by women and has usually a proverb of some sort that applies to the cloth.
As we all know, fashion is always about the wardrobe, style, and culture, expressed especially in clothing, footwear, accessories, makeup, body piercing, and the like. But today, we are discussing fashion in Africa. Do the African people embrace Western fashion or their own fashion trends? Of course, we'll discuss this in our usual light-hearted manner, so please stay tuned. Well, first welcome to the show, my colleagues, Tef. Welcome aboard. And Mr. Paul Ndiho, you've never been to this show for the first time. Welcome aboard, sir.
Good to be here, buddy.
Thank you, Paul. And our guest, Nice, welcome aboard.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Anytime, you're welcome. And tonight, here on Let's Talk, we are discussing fashion in Africa. Well, should the people of Africa stick to their own traditional attires or continue with the European and Western attires, or maybe both? I pose this question to Nenelwa from Tanzania.
Our traditional garb is very different from Western or Southern or Northern Africa. In Tanzania, our staple piece is the kanga, which is mainly worn by women and has usually a proverb of some sort that applies to the cloth. And so I really do love kanga. I think that it's something that can be meshed with, I guess, American wear. And I think it's something that Africans as a whole have been starting to do a lot more, have been embracing a lot more, especially the Afropolitan generation, which are young people who are either first generation American, but their parents are from the continent.
But here's what I want to know, Nene. When you see young men and women going out to a party, to a club, for the most part, I just see them wearing traditional. I don't see those dresses. I don't see the kanga at all. I don't see those traditional dresses at all. For the most part, when I visit Africa, I see young men and women really sagging pants and really wearing just Western culture. So what is missing here? Is anything missing, you think?
Well, I definitely think that it depends on where you're going to or what clubs or outings you're going to. I think that the places that I've been to, there's always a mesh. You always see a little bit of both. You see that maybe you're wearing an African skirt with a regular, you know, American top. I think people like to play with color. They like to play with shape and all those different things and put them together. But I do think that there's also a generation of Africans that are also quite colonized in the fact that they have really been kind of ingrained in the American system for a long time now. And so they kind of have erased that part, or not necessarily purposefully, but have gotten so acclimated to American culture that they feel like that's not necessarily a part of them anymore. So I think you're right to an extent that there is that saggy pant, all that jazz. And I think it also depends on which region you're from. So I would say what I've seen personally as an East African is that it's not as embraced in Tanzanian culture. I can't really speak for the others, other parts of Eastern Africa, but at least for Tanzanians, I do notice that it's not something that we're as proud of. But I do notice that the younger generation has embraced it more, especially seeing our brothers and sisters in Western Africa and Southern Africa who really embrace that cultural aspect of kind of Ankara, of Kente, of just the beauty in the cloth. And I think because of that, we're totally transforming. And I think we're starting to come around and realize that, yes, the kanga is really unique, is really special to East Africa, but more specifically, it was born in Tanzania. So it's something that we really need to embrace and take with us, and something that we should carry onwards to our children and, you know, as continue to grow.
Right.
So I think it's definitely something that's moving and changing, but I definitely think that it's becoming more and more embraced across the continent and across the diaspora.
And you mentioned something about the body shape. Now tell me a little bit about this body shape. Does the Kanga dress or Kanga piece of cloth go according to your body shape? What is it about the body shape with Kanga?
Well, I think Kanga, I don't know if it necessarily goes with body shape. I think anyone can wear it, but I think that people definitely take into account their shape. That's the beauty of
Kanga.
Africa and the beauty of Kanga and the beauty of just the cloth in general is that it's something that is customized specifically for your shape, for your size, for your body. And that's something that's very different from, Northern American clothing, is that it's something that's already been reproduced several times. It's something that doesn't really have that special or unique feature. Mm-hmm. So it makes it very kind of commercialized. Whereas with fabric in general, you can really add your own kind of unique, quirky flair to it. And I think that's what makes it so appealing to even non-Africans, because now you see people like Lily Pulitzer and other more famous designers incorporating Ankara, incorporating fabric, Kanga into their clothing.
Thank you, Nenelwa.
This is Let's Talk, and we're discussing fashion in Africa.
Well, back to my colleagues in studio. Tell me your take. Tef, you're from Ethiopia, of course. I know you have so many different fashions over there. What do you think? Should people in Africa stick to their fashion or embrace the Western attire that we all used? What do you think?
I don't think it should be either one. You know, there's no reason why you cannot appreciate both fashion, you know, statements. I do think that perhaps maybe African traditional garbs and stuff should have a place in the market, you know, maybe an equal space in the market. But otherwise, I think it's very fair for somebody to decide to wear a Western, you know, type fashion clothing if they want, or an Ethiopian one, or an African, you know, just a general African one. So I don't think it should be limited by just because you're in Africa, you know, just wear everything that's African. Of course, promote it and respect it and appreciate it, but at the same time, you should be open to both cultures.
Okay. Yeah. Well said, but I just wanted to know, this is some people talk about, maybe Paul will help us here. When you are from Africa, you want to have maybe your own fashion statement. Let's say from Ethiopia, they have their own, from Uganda, they got their own, from Sierra Leone, they got their own. And Paul, what do you think?
Well, first of all, let me say that it shouldn't matter where you're from, what you're wearing. I think what should matter is how you look in it and how you feel about it. For me, that's my interpretation of fashion. It doesn't matter what I put on. As long as if I feel comfortable in it, that I think I'm good to go.
Okay. I think that's it's a fair statement. But also, we remember back in the 70s, Nisnis, remember those Pan-African leaders of Africa usually liked to put on something they called a shirt. It's a suit, but no tie. And also, you didn't have a collar.
Kaunda
suit. Thank you. Very popular name, Kaunda suit. There's presidents of, let's say, Tanzania, Nyerere, Kaunda of Zambia, Obote of Uganda. These guys had their own style and they really
Bongo.
Liked it. Bongo, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. Hey, Nis, you know better. Maybe on your part, what do you think? Is this something should Africans be proud of their own?
I think everyone should be proud of their background, their culture, and they should embrace it. I'm going to go with Paul here a little bit. To look one's best is to feel one's best. So it does not really matter if you're wearing your traditional outfit or European or whatever, but I'm totally all for wearing the traditional outfit when it's the right time. We don't see the Japanese people walking around in kimonos all the time. And we definitely don't see the Indians in their saris all the time. So I think as Africans, we put a lot of pressure on us, like, yay, I'm from Nigeria, have the big headgear. Yeah. And we judge our people if they don't always have the traditional outfit. But there should be a time and place for it. I think this outfit a statement. Mm-hmm. If we have a big traditional event, it makes us stand out. It shows our culture. But definitely don't expect me to wear, you know, the big African thing with the big headgear to work. I don't think they would want to keep me in corporate. And that's not because they're judging me. It's because it's just not appropriate in this part of the world. Even in Africa, when I lived back home, you know, on Fridays, people had their traditional outfit. But during the week, we wore suits just like regular people. And I'm from Sierra Leone, so a lot of that is very westernized. And people do judge the Sierra Leoneans that they're too westernized. And we don't appreciate our culture. But I was from the city. But on Fridays, everybody wore their traditional outfit.
Okay.
But I think there should be a time and place for it so that other people will appreciate it better. When I wear my traditional outfit to weddings in America, they love it. They go Google Gaga over it. If I wore it every day, they won't even ask a question. They'll be used to seeing it. So I think we could go both ways.
Yeah.
We could have it on sometime, like Tef said, and you know, you shouldn't be judged and there should be no pressure. Okay. Embrace it when you can and show it off when you can, but still be able to immerse into you know, life as we know it here. So you're not being, you don't stand out like a sore thumb.
In fact, I agree with what you're saying. Yeah. I think people should have the ability to do what they want.
Right.
Because if it makes you feel free, feel good about yourself, I think you should go for it. Mm. I just recently came from Nigeria and I was amazed by how people embrace fashion. Some of them actually wear their traditional things to work. And you look at them, you're like, wow, that's beautiful. And some other people prefer to wear Western suits. So I think the point should be, how do I feel about it? How do I look about it? Yes, you touched about something where if you work in corporate America or corporate world, you shouldn't wear your stuff to work. But I will give you an example. There's a famous lady from Nigeria, Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala. She's one of the she's currently the finance minister of Nigeria. She used to work at the World Bank. I had never run into her, not once, not wearing an African attire, and she looked beautiful. So I don't think it should matter where you work or where you're from. What matters should, how do you feel about it? Or what do people say about you? When I wear African shirts, I get compliments from women, from
all
men,
over the place. Huh?
Over the place.
Yeah.
But when I wear a regular shirt, nobody cares.
But if you wore it every day, they won't compliment you. And I want to correct that a little bit. I'm not saying they should not wear it to corporate.
Yeah.
I'm saying I don't think it will be appropriate or feasible to wear it every day because our clothes are very heavy and the headgear. I cannot see myself with a big headgear and all of that because our clothes are very, they have a lot of to it. I can't see myself where I have to run around and, you know,
the elevators up and
there being a meeting and I have this big headgear and this big flowing gown.
Because
we are very showy people, Africans. So I want to correct that I'm not saying we should not wear it. We absolutely should wear it.
Okay.
But I don't think it would be appropriate or effective for me with what I do, or even the laborer, they can't have all of that. I'm just trying to be practical.
I get your point and hold it right there. The four major capitals of fashion around the world are considered to be Paris, New York, Milan, and London. There you'll find tons of different styles and fashion. But what about African countries? They're well-known tribes in Africa for their unique type of dressing, and they embrace their fashion. For example, the Maasai in Kenya and Tanzania, of course in Nigeria, Ghana, Somaliland, and other tribes in the continent. For those of you just joining us, this is Let's Talk, a program of the Voice of America's Africa Service. We'll be back in a moment. This is Let's Talk, where we take a lighthearted look at everyday issues of importance to you. I'm your host, Sunday Shomari, in studio with Tef, Paul Ndiho, and Nis. Right now, we're discussing fashion in Africa.
I spoke to Andrew Omogo, a Yali fellow in Nairobi, Kenya, and wanted to know, does Africa need to stand out of the crowd and show their own fashion statement?
As much as you want to partner with other partners from different parts of the globe, Africa needs to have a sense of identity. That is something that has to be stressed too.
Mm-hmm.
The need for partnership. The need for partnership is something that is very important for the purposes of global and multicultural integration. But also the sense of identity as Africa is also very key. Africa also needs to stand out. We also need to stand out as our own. We need to present our own fashion to the world, so that we don't become people who actually are actually manipulated culturally, left, right, and center. We are supposed to be people who are supposed to have our own identity.
Right.
You identify yourself as an African. Yeah.
Okay. A good example, maybe you are from Kenya, and in Kenya there you have the Maasai in Kenya. When you see a man who lives in the villages in the Maasai traditional garb, I mean, that is just unique of its own. Now, what do you think about that? Because you don't see it in offices, you don't see it in traditional places, we don't see when people go to clubs, you don't see when people go to parties and stuff.
There is a sense of identity in Africa. The only problem we have in Africa is that it's not uniform. When you go to Nigeria, you have Nigerians dressing in the kanzus and in the big clothes that reflect their status. When you go to South Africa, you have South Africans dressing almost half-naked and having this generous and very confident dance. And when you come to the Maasai of Kenya, you have them having shukas that have these box designs checkered designs that are really very nice. So Africa is big, and we have a lot of cultures that we can present to the world. For example, Kenya, we are identified by the Maasai dress. When you go to South Africa, they have a dress in they have the skins, the dried skins, the skin wear. You remember Jacob Zuma having to look at that when he was married?
Oh, yes. I would see that leopard skin. Very interesting. Oh, yes.
Yeah, exactly. He was dressed in a dried skin, and he had jingles in his feet, and he was dancing the traditional dance reflecting the South African identity.
Right.
Now, we can present our global image to the world, the global traditional image of the world that we should be maintaining as Africans. But the only challenge we have is that we cannot have one uniform brand, traditional brand for Africa. They are different ones, and they all stand out.
And also, if you say for a country, for example, a country like Kenya also cannot have one, as you speak, maybe you're saying there's so many different traditions with so many different dresses, like the Garissa, they have their own in some parts of Kenya. Thank you, Andrew Omogo from Nairobi, Kenya.
And a reminder, tonight on Let's Talk, we are discussing fashion in Africa. Earlier, Nisnis said there's a right time and place for everything, especially when she comes to the dashiki, the African attire. But what do you think, my friend Tef Tef?
I would have to agree with her. I think it's a matter of also, you know, when in Rome, kind of a little bit, you know, because our clothing is made for a specific, you know, climate, for example. You know, it's developed over time. And when you're here, if I find a dress shirt more convenient, you know, than maybe an Ethiopian, you know, warmer type of clothing that I have, I'm going to wear that. You know, of course, now there are, you know, younger designers who are really getting better at incorporating those two styles together. And that's why I think, you know, again, in the long run, both cultures will win if you just start fusing them together anyways, to begin with.
You're one of them too. I think you have your own website where you're selling stuff or you're creating some garments. Is this fusion as well you're doing, or what is it?
I respect a lot more of the, you know, products that incorporate the fabrics. We're more image creation. So, you know, I don't want to just say we use fabrics of that sort.
Oh, okay.
For us, it's about creating African images with American images more so than it is fabrics and materials. But I've seen a lot of, again, you come across these guys, they create really nice texture patterns. The prints, especially from Nigeria and Ghana, are amazing. And they're making regular dresses with them. And so it's something that, you know, used to be scrapped off back home. It's normal, everybody has it. But now, even the price is going up. The
it comes down here, it's hot cake.
It's exactly. And I mean, again, there's, I don't want to go on a tangent, maybe we can come back to this point later, but that's another thing. The more popular our product gets to the world, the more expensive it becomes for the locals to afford it, which is really something that I see, at least in Ethiopia, for example. You know, our traditional clothing becomes very popular in Hollywood, and overnight, you know, people that used to buy this you know, to go to church or for holidays can't afford it anymore. So it's one of those things, you know, sometimes that kind of demand, that kind of appreciation can also lead to a effect that you don't want to get.
I think Atef mentions a very good point here. I think young Africans, there are a lot of incredibly talented young Africans who have hit the fashion industry so hard that their presence is being felt even here in New York. You see Africans walking the runway, wearing African clothes. You go to London, you go to Paris, you go anywhere. We've started having our own fashion shows in South Africa, in Kenya, even in South Sudan, the most recent country. You find people wearing their clothes. So I think what is happening is like a fundamental change. Africans are not waiting to buy European clothes. They're saying, hey, look here, if we can own our products, you maybe modify it to look European enough, we can wear it. And there's no problem with that. And that's why they're making their mark on the international stage.
Yeah, there's a mark right now. There is a big mark on the national stage, that's for sure. And you have fashion designers also coming from across the country in Africa, coming to America. Like I met this lady, Khadija Monamboka, she's in Tanzania. And she came to New York, she was invited to one of the fashion shows to display what she got. So I think it's about time for the Africans to come with their own fashion statement rather than waiting for you to be fed with what is coming out there. So, Nisnis, I don't know what you think about the fashion trend right now. Is this a hot fashion trend in the US or maybe in Europe when you bring African attires? Or they don't have place right now as far as you think?
Oh, we absolutely have a place here in America, in Europe. The African, you know, outfit and the cloth that we use have always had a place. And I don't think we're behind in that. I think they have noticed that a long time ago. Yes, Paul mentioned about how people admire his African shirt when he wears it, and people wear with jeans, and they do, you know, draw attention to people. The headgear, again, I have to go back because that always stands out. Tev talked about something, and let's talk about kente cloth. When I was back home, kente cloth was nothing. And then I came out here, when I first went to Europe, it wasn't that huge. But then I came to America, it was like, kente cloth is gold. And my American friends are begging it. They put it around their little outfits in church and they think they're Africans automatically. They think this really convinces people that I'm African. So as far as our fashion, you know, transforming over, I do think we have a presence. I do think we've always been on the runway. If you take a real good look, you will see that marmaid style, it came from Africa, and you see it now in all these gorgeous evening gowns. But that really came from us, you know. They implement our fabrics and they put it, and the price just goes way up.
But here's the question to you. I'll come back to you, Paul. Why is that any new fashion that has a lot of catchy feely when they come to America or to the fashion world, when it goes back there in Africa, all of a sudden, as he says, Tef says, it's hot. Why not the other way around? Have something in Africa that will be just as hot.
And we have all these gorgeous African girls on the runway, and they're from Africa, but they're not claiming it.
Or even we have all these stars. Look at the World Cup. How many stars are there from Africa? They're playing for other countries or whatever. They have other nationalities.
We can't just blame Africa on that. We had a lot of people from other countries playing for the United States. So let's stay off the World Cup.
No. What I'm trying to do here.
Sensitive topic.
Oh, I understand. I'm just trying to get out of the topic. What I'm trying to do is to see our African brothers. What are we doing as Africans?
Actually, I was going to add that. Last year, I was watching the Project Runway. One of the runner-ups was from Congo.
Really?
Yes. She's based out in Chicago. She had very nice stuff. Wow. And this was the first time they featured a Kenyan. They featured a Liberian. And this Liberian actually has a store on Georgia Avenue here in the United States. Yes.
Right in our nose in D.C.
So they've been featured on Project Runway. So Africans are doing it.
Well, you're tuned to Let's Talk, a program, The Voice of America's Africa Service. It comes to you Mondays at 17:30 Universal Time, right here on the Africa Service of The Voice of America. Back in a moment. I told you.
Welcome back. This is Let's Talk, a program of Africa Service of the Voice of America. I'm your host, Sunday Shomari. Well, it's time now for our listeners out there to give us your input.
I'm from Kenya, so I'm going to talk about the Maasai. The Maasai is just like, that's a tribe in Kenya, and they have their own dressing code, like their own attire, that they are well known. They know the kshuka and all that stuff. And there are countries that have their own traditional wear. Yeah, I mean, it's like the country is well known for that, like Nigeria. You know, I talk about countries like Ghana. And one thing I want to appreciate with our people, especially from West Africa, they embrace it, they market it, they love it when it comes to big functions. They always put on their attire. Talk about the Ghanaian team during the World Cup. They had their, if you see their uniform, their jerseys, they had like something traditional, you know, the collar, the ribbon at the hand. So I can say that we need to embrace that. We need to identify our own attire and push it. And let people accept it. I remember in Kenya, we designed one, but people just didn't take it. So we need to actually nurture, market, and be proud of our own.
I think us as Africans, we have a lot to offer in terms of fashion. Think about it. Our fashion, you know, it can be pretty extravagant. It can be pretty appealing in the eyes of people. It is something that can really, really excite people. So I think we should embrace, but then again, it will depend on the occasion. There are some situations you have to go west without any doubt. But in some cases, especially when we have our events, I think we should embrace our passion, our sense of belonging, and our culture. And we are seeing that more and more now, especially with a number of designers who have come out with good quality product for us. See, I've gone to many events that are big, and I started seeing Africans coming out in their African attire. And you can already see a lot of people are taking note of it. They like it. They are copying it. We already seeing right now as we speak in America here, many celebrities are starting to wear African prints, you know, clothing, things like that. Just the other day, there was a big discussion all over social media. You had Chris Brown wearing, you know, that we call it like a Kenge shirt or something like that. And this is definitely a fashion thing. So if the Western can start embracing our clothing then or our fashion, then we definitely need to, you know, do a little bit more. It is time, but then again, we understand there's certain situations, then of course, you know, you have to mix it up.
Thank you, listeners. This is Let's Talk, and we're discussing fashion in Africa. Tonight on Let's Talk, we're talking about fashion in Africa. It's time for the unusual story of the week. Baby Amara Chidoze shocked the world 3 days after she was born, after she took matters in her own hands to feed herself. According to the Daily Mirror, this was witnessed recently at Queen's Hospital in Romford, UK, when this baby decided and grabbed her bottle during a feed and held it to her mouth and ate it. Her mother, 20-year-old Onyi, said everyone is amazed by the act and they see the baby pushing the bottle aside when she is full. She added she was crying as she was hungry and when we were feeding, she started shaking. Then she just grabbed the bottle and she was holding it by herself. We could not believe it because babies don't normally do it, they're young. Yes, they don't. Even nurses are really surprised. Well, if you think babies are not strong, think again. The world is full of surprises. Well, that's it for our show on fashion in Africa. A big thank you to our guests.
Nenelwa Tommy from Tanzania and Andrew Omogo from Kenya.
And of course, in studio, my colleagues, Tef Tef. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
And Mr. Paul Ndiho, thank you for the
pleasure being here.
And also our guest, the one and only Nice.
Thanks for having me.
Welcome back. And of course, a big thank you to our producer, Jackson Mvunganyi. Send in your comments and experiences. Our email address is letstalk@voanews.com. You can always call us here at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And leave us a message. Thanks for tuning in and join us again next Monday at 17:30 UTC for another exciting edition of Let's Talk. Our topic next week,
polygamy.
Don't forget to tune in Tuesdays for another discussion program, Health Chat. Host Lino Madu and her guest physician discuss a health issue of interest to you. That's Health Chat, Tuesdays at 17:30 UTC, right here on the Africa service of the Voice of America. From Washington, this is Sunday Shomari. See you next Monday. Ciao.